We are joined on The Green This Week once again by contributor John Hurl, talking about his piece on the Port of Wilmington. John, thanks for joining us on the show this week.
Hi, Tom.
The big takeaway from your piece seems to be that the level of expectation for the port under Gulftainer is pretty strong. Gulftainer and the state talked about revenue and jobs for Delaware when the deal was announced just over a year ago. But I'm not so sure they were this explicit about how competitive they expect the port will be with others, not just along the Delaware River, but also along the East Coast. Why are they so confident about the Port of Wilmington's future?
Well, Tom, I sat down with Eric Casey, the CEO of GTUSA, and he was very bullish on the competitive nature of Wilmington in relation to nearby ports, particularly other ports on the Delaware River. And his argument is that that the Port of Wilmington offers importers to the United States quicker and easier access to U.S. markets for their various goods. And the example that he kept coming back to was that there is just one stoplight in between the Port of Wilmington and Interstate 495. As you know, there's just a very short stretch of road there, about a quarter of a mile. And he's saying that that none of the other ports that Wilmington competes with can have such easy access to the interstate network. In addition to that, there's good rail networks, good rail links from the port to the U.S. interior, particularly the Midwest markets. And he's saying that, for example, goods can get from Wilmington to, for example, Chicago by rail in about 20 hours, that we'll be able to, and by truck should take about 12 hours.
It all starts with some of the investment that Gulftainer is making in the port. What are some of the things that Gulftainer has already done in this first year plus they've been operating the port to start this expansion and this growth?
Well, one of the things they've done, of course, they've got the total investment here is about $700 million. About $100 million of that is being spent on the existing port, and they are in the process of buying new equipment like cranes, forklifts, upgrading warehouses and the overall and with the intention of speeding the movement of containers through the port. And then the other thing that's ongoing is the dredging of the site for the new part of the Port of Wilmington, which of course is on the old DuPont site at Edgemoor, a couple of miles away.
And that would be the biggest investment, that new port facility they plan for that old DuPont Edgemoor location just up the river from the current facility. Beside the dredging, what else do we know now about those plans and the timetable for that big piece coming online?
Well, you know, they're spending about $600 million on this new terminal. They say it's due to open. It will start to become operational in 2023, and they're hoping to complete it 2 years later. The new terminal will be able to take two of the new generation of big cargo ships, which are each will be able to carry up to 14,500 TEUs. That's a standard port measurement. That stands for 20-foot equivalent units, and so that will give the those ships will each be about three times the capacity of the ships that currently call at the Port of Wilmington.
So that seemed to be the thing that stood out most to me, is that this new Edgemoor facility will actually be able to handle more than the current port. I mean, that seems like a big game changer for the entire operation.
Yes, indeed. Well, the Edgemoor facility is going to be capable, once it's fully up and running, of moving 1.2 million of these TEUs a year. That will represent two-thirds of the total of the combined port when everything's up and running. You know, that's going to be it's going to be provide a big economic boost for the state of Delaware.
And just to give people a sense of what that all means, when we talk about these big units, is there a sense of what kind of cargo will be comprising these units and moving forward? I mean, obviously the port right now is largely known for fruit. Are they going to be able to handle much more, and are they be handling many different things than they are maybe right now?
Well, what Mr. Casey told me was that they intend to hang on to their market share for things like bananas and pineapples and different other different kinds of fruit. But he's hoping to develop the markets. He's talking more in terms of dry goods, what he calls dry goods. So I mean that could be anything from electronics to shoes and clothing, that sort of thing. He's talking in terms of developing Wilmington as a portal to U.S. markets that are not currently served very well or maybe at all for various kinds of goods from overseas. And so he's saying that he's had a series of talks with folks from several African countries, for example, about ways of getting their of building up their U.S. customers for their goods and their produce using the Port of Wilmington.
You mentioned dredging earlier, and it feels like this port expansion was at least in part spurred by that recent dredging of the Delaware River up and down the entire river. How big a deal was that? And is it fair to say it's created kind of an arms race along the Delaware River to take advantage of the new ships that will be able to come through a newly dredged Delaware River?
Well, it was a big deal. It's about 102 miles of dredging down to 45 feet to allow these bigger cargo ships to come up the river, and that's between Philadelphia and the middle of the Delaware to deep water in the middle of Delaware Bay. The whole thing has cost $400 million, which is about $100 million more than was originally planned, and about two-thirds of it has been paid by the federal government. It's not clear that this is an arms race, but clearly all of the ports on the river are hoping to benefit from this, particularly Philadelphia, which paid about a third of the cost. So this represents the river ports as a whole as positioning themselves for this anticipated increase in cargo with these much bigger ships that are coming up the river.
But you do point out in your piece that even if everything kind of falls into place for the Port of Wilmington, and maybe it can do better than some of the other ports along the Delaware River, it's still not going to supplant some of the major ports along the East Coast in terms of volume, correct?
Well, I think that's right. I think that it's important to sort of put this in context. I mean, even though the expansion program will represent a big jump in terms of the Port of Wilmington itself, if you compare it with some other major ports along the East Coast, even after the Wilmington project is complete, it's still going to be a fair bit smaller. I mean, for example, the Port of New York and New Jersey moved about 7 million TEUs in 2018. The Port of Virginia is expecting to move about 3 million this year. So, I mean, both of those are well in excess of what Wilmington's planning to move.
But still, a larger slice of the pie could mean significant economic development for the first states. Was anybody willing to kind of tie maybe some specific numbers to what they're hoping in terms of jobs and revenue for the state of Delaware as this project ramps up?
Well, unfortunately not. Eric Casey was not willing to forecast any specific job numbers. I mean, he was very bullish on the idea that the project will, in general, be a big economic boost for the state of Delaware, and he talked about when the trade volumes increase, there'll be more truck traffic, there'll be more warehousing, there'll be even local businesses like restaurants will start to pop up as a result of all this. But he said that he's not willing to make any specific forecasts on this because it depends on when on what kind of cargoes come in and when they come in.
And just to point out to people that there's also a piece here where the the state gets royalty revenue from the port based on how much it brings in. And although it's a small sample size, this first year has been within what was projected in terms of that royalty revenue, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. What the state said when this deal was inked with GT was that they were expecting royalties of up to $13 million a year within the first 10 years of the agreement, and the latest figures for, over what is roughly the first year of the agreement shows that they're being paid GT has already paid $7.1 million.
So based on the people you talk to, is there any sense of how quickly we'll know if the Port of Wilmington is going to deliver on these lofty aspirations? Are there some things to look for to know that this thing is headed in the right direction?
Well, the royalty numbers, I think, are a hopeful sign that things are beginning to get on track. It's pretty much in line with expectations. And then the other thing to think about is that the trade volumes at the Port of Wilmington have already increased, the existing port, that is, have already increased from the point where when GT formally took it over in September of last year, they were moving, and the number is 278,000 TEUs a year. And since then, it's gone up to around about 400,000 TEUs. So there is an increase in volume there, and so I'm sure the GT sees that as a hopeful sign that things are moving in the right direction.
John Hurdle, as always, we appreciate your time. We appreciate your reporting. Thanks for being with us on The Green this week.
You're welcome, Tom.